Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah shleima of our friend and founder, Yosef Dov ben Chayla. He should have a refuah shleima, the koro for Sosha Choli Yisrael. So we are learning Siman Kuf Pei in halacha, which is the beginning of Hilchos Berachos HaMazon. It's called Dinei Pirurei Hapas. The dinim of what's left over of the bread. And we discussed yesterday already the shaila about having bread. Well, in fact, what do you remove from the table before benching? Besides the knife that we spoke about for special reasons, but what do you remove? And what you could remove is, you could remove the bread, you could remove the tablecloth, in other words, clear the meal completely, you could remove the dishes and the cutlery.
Dirty dishes
you're allowed to remove. What about crumbs?
Breadcrumbs.
What about pieces of bread? You've got a bowl of bread in front of you and there are a few slices that haven't yet been eaten. Yeah? No problem at all. Okay, well, let's see. Yeah, so we said first of all yesterday that one of the reasons for leaving bread on the table is because brocha is chal on something. Brocha applies, or brocha, I don't know how you say chal in English, but in Yiddish you say brocha is chal. Yeah, the brocha can be effective on something that exists already. So that's the anog of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and therefore if there's bread on the table, then there'll be much more bread, as in the story with Elisha and the lady with the oil, or Elisha with the oil and the lady. And so, that's one reason. The other reason is, clearly, that if you've cleared the table completely and you're benching, and the purpose of the benching is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food that you've eaten, then, in other words, there are two things in benching. One is to thank the Rabbi Shah for the food that you've eaten, and then we have the brochas afterwards, or the tefillas afterwards, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us more tomit lechos alonu, that we haven't lacked until now, and we're davening that we want to have bread in the future, we want to have for the future. And therefore, to bench on a table which has no zeicher of Yiddishkeit, yeah, a person who's eating at his desk, and he's finished eating, and he's cleared everything away, sandwiches are finished, the cup is gone, etc., etc., and now he's benching. Somebody walks in and sees him mumbling at his desk, would think maybe he's saying Tehillim, maybe he's starting Mincha, whatever it is. There's no indication whatsoever that the tefillah that he's saying or the words that he's mumbling have anything to do with the meal. So therefore, those are two reasons why there should be a person when he benches should be doing his benching at a table where it looks like a table where he's eaten and where there is an item of food at least where the brocha can be chal. Says the Mechaber, call me. Yeah, he says, Ein lahose, this is Siman Kuf Pei al Asif Aleph. Ein lahose hamapo v'halechem adacha birchas hamozoin. Clear halocha, mechaber paskins, that you leave the tablecloth and the bread on the table till after birchas hamozoin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ein lahose, for the two reasons that we said. Okay, I'm not going to repeat the Mishnah Berurah, we've explained that already. And then he comes up, which is a bit surprising because it sounds like a little bit of a threat, which is not the derech of the Mechaber who's saying halocha. But he brings down, Kol mi she'eino mei she'pas al shulchonoi, somebody who does not leave any bread on the table at all, eino roya simen brocha le'olam. Exactly what that means, I don't know. You find that expression in other places. I think it's brought down in Hilchas Tisha B'Av. People who work on Tisha B'Av, they don't see a siman brocha from the work that they do, and that sort of thing. Yeah? But, he says, Avol, he says, what happens if you've finished everything? So there is no bread left on the table. All the challah is finished at the meal, and you've got to the end of the meal, and the bowl is empty. Yeah, should you go out to the kitchen and bring bread to the table in order that there should be bread on the table? It says Avaloi Yovi Pas Shlemo, he should not bring a complete bread, Vietneno al Hashulchon, and bring it to the table. So there's no bread on the table. So I'm going now to the kitchen, I'm fetching a fresh challah, or I'm fetching a whole matzah or a whole bilkala. You should not bring it to the table. Why? Vimosa came, because if he did so, Mechse de l'shem avoides kachovim ovid. It looks like he's brought a sacrifice to an avoides zora. Why? Because there's a posuk. Shnema, it says, Ho'oichim lagad shulchan. This posuk is in towards the end of Yeshaya, chapter Samach Hei, posuk Yud Aleph. I looked it up, and there the Novi Yeshaya is complaining about the Yidden who are neglecting the Mizbeach of the Rabbeinu Shlonam, Ovdei Avodah Zorah. So they were neglecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not bringing any korbanos to the Beis HaMikdosh, and instead of bringing korbanos to the Beis HaMikdosh, they're oichin lagad shulchan, they bring sacrifices of, and the Targum there says that they bring pesoya ala shulchan, they bring bread onto the table as a contribution, as a what's called a, I don't know if any of you ever visited any Buddhist homes, but I think it's Buddhist or Sikh, I can't remember, but they have a shrine. Many of them have a shrine in one of the rooms, and every day in front of this image of the Buddha, they lay down a korban. They put down an item of food. I've seen bananas. You know, if I go visit houses for some reason, you've seen as well. Yeah, they put down a banana, they put down an apple, they put down a bread, or something like that.
In Hong Kong,
also. Yeah, in Hong Kong. Oh, so that's exactly what the what's called said. That's exactly what the Novi Yeshaya is saying. O'ichim lagad shulchan, that in the place of bringing korbanos to the Rabbeinu Shlonam, they're placing on their table, maybe at home. Yeah, we have the concept lahavdil elef avdolos of a shulchan, our shulchan being b'mokem mizbeach. And therefore, you should not bring. So what we're saying is as follows. What? Sure. No. We're not talking about bringing. We're not talking about bringing the bread to the table at the beginning of the meal. What you bring into the meal for you to eat is fine. You can bring a complete bread. You can bring a half a bread, etc. Now you've got to the end of the meal, right? I want to bench in. And I would like there to be bread on the table in order to indicate that I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the bread that I've eaten, and also to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for future bread, that the bracha should be chal on the bread that I have in order to run for the future as well. And there, if it just works out that all the bread that we ate during the meal was finished and there's nothing there, should I bring... So the first thing that Mechaber is saying is, do not bring a complete bread. A whole bread... Right, not a wholemeal bread, yeah, but you do not bring a complete bread, as in a whole bread, to the table because of the posuk, which to those who, you know, understand, we don't understand Avodah Zorah, but I'm saying that I have seen it. I mean, I've seen it even Bizman Azer, Avadya's seen it, David's seen it.
Outside, yeah? Factory in China.
Factory in China.
With the Buddha, with spices, with everything, with the
yeah, they have these what's called incense.
I was so afraid. I thought maybe they're stumbling that my crotch should have. I stood there and I said, "This has nothing to do with me. I'm way clear. I don't want to know."
Right. Okay. Now, looking now at the Mishnah Berurah says there's also a practical reason. And this makes a difference as to what one leaves on the table. There is a practical reason as to why one should have bread on the table, b'shas benching. He says, Kol mi she'eino, he brings the tzorich l'shaya k'dei she'ei mezumen lo'oni she'ovoi. A person should always have some food left on the table in case a visitor turns up. And only knocks at the door and says, I'm hungry. You say, come in and please join us for the meal. And in fact, there's a Maimon Chazal which says that it's a good thing to sit at the meal for a long time, to be sitting at your table for a long time, because that increases the chance for any oni who knocks at the door that they'll find somebody inside eating a meal, and they'll be able to join them and enjoy the meal with them. It says, Hamarech b'shulchan, somebody who spends a lot of time at the table eating, Marichin loy yomov. That's what it says, yeah? Why? No, it doesn't say that. No, weekdays, Shabbos, anytime. You should spend a lot of time. You should spend a lot of time at the table, right? So that the chances for an oni who rings at the bell, who's come to come for stocker, yeah, or he's come to eat and he's hungry, yeah, you'll be able to say, "Ah, oh, I'm just in the middle of a meal. Please join us."
You should.
So you should. Hamarich b'shulchanoi. It's a Maimon Chazal. Hamarach b'shulchanam marich lo yomov. Dilma osa anya v'yoev lo. The Gemara says in case an oni comes and he'll be able to give him food. Yeah. V'gam kedei sheyoyde laHashem yisporach al chasto sheshbir lo metzuvoy. So there should be food on the table ready for an oni in case he ends up. Plus to thank Hakadosh Baruch Hu for the toivo shesovanu v'hoisarnu kedersiv echol v'hoiser. We say that in Tzumish Lo Yechalnu, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sovanu, Vohoi Sarnu. We have eaten and we are satisfied, Vohoi Sarnu, and we have even more on the table in case the Oni arrives. Talking about in case the Oni arrives, I don't know where we are with the speaker.
But he's not an Oni, he's an Oisha.
No, he's an Oisha. Okay, so let's carry on for a bit longer and we may have to... Improvise.
Send a message out.
Us?
Send a message out to Josh.
Okay.
On the main thing so you can see.
Okay, fine. Alright, fine. Just trying to think what to.
I like him.
What?
On his bike, right?
Okay. So, then the Mishnah Berurah brings down B'Shem the Shloh. The Mishnah Berurah B'Shem the Shloh HaKadosh. He says as follows. Deroy v'nochoin, she'itein le'oni hatov shebashulchon. When there is an oni at the table, you shouldn't give him the scraps, and you shouldn't give him the second class foods, but you should give him hatov shebashulchon. You should treat the oni royally. Why? Uviprat imhu oni choshev, and avada if he's an oni choshev, but even if he's not, but he's a poor man, because he's sitting at your table with a bit of a complex and feeling sorry for himself, and you have Baruch Hashem Kol Tov at your table, he has nothing to eat. Shemizeh yareloi shemekabloi b'seiv upon him yofos. Right? It's a b'chelik of the hachnosas ochim, of the oni, that you should treat him not only equally, but give him from the best. Give him first and give him from the best. He says, and then the Shlo says, u'mashabeach ani es hakeelois. He praises those communities, this idea of kest, of having yeshiva bochrim, who come to the house to eat every day. In the days before yeshivas had dormitories, then there was this minhag of kest. Rabbi Roberts once told a story at a school dinner. He said that a bocha arrived in Baranovich. Bocha arrived in Baranovich to learn in the yeshiva. And he turns up and he doesn't know what to do or where to. So he arrived at the yeshiva and he sat down in the base of Medrash and he started learning. And Tucker, after some time, the Mashgiach came over, noticed him, a new bocha had just arrived. He says, Shalom Aleichem. He says, have you come to learn in our yeshiva? He says, yes, my name is so-and-so, I've come to learn. So he says, I'm the Mashgiach, and I need to arrange for you your food. You need to have somewhere to eat. So the first question they would always ask is, do you have any relatives in the town? If you have a relative in the town, I'm going to ask your relatives to look after you food-wise. The bocha says, no, I haven't got any relatives in town. So the Mashgiach says, okay, in that case, leave it with me, and I will let you know, sort of before supper time, exactly what the arrangements are for your food. So it was, let's say it was a Sunday. So the Mashgiach turned up 2 hours later, and he said, you've got a piece of pen, you've got a paper, write down as follows. Yeah, tonight is Sunday, and tonight Sunday you'll be eating at family X. Yeah, and they wrote down the address. And then on Tuesday night, you'll be eating at family Y. And on Thursday night, you're eating at family Z. And on Shabbos, you'll be eating at family A. All right, you got it all down? Fine. So the bocha looks at him and says, what about Monday? What about Wednesday? Yeah. So the Mashgiach says, sorry, I didn't understand. You came to Baranovich to learn or to eat? Yeah, so we're saying here, yeah, that he says, "Umashabeach ani es hakehilois shemachzikim loimdim bachurim al shulchanam kol hashana keechel mibneim." I praise those kehilas who take in yeshiva bachurim to eat all year round, and they treat them like their own children. In other words, they treat them equally, and they share of what they've got. Uvazeh yotza balabais b'shnei devorim, and with that, the balabais gains two things. He says, "Mitzvas." Chelik aniyim. Obviously, you've got a mitzvah of feeding the aniyim. But gam mitzvah divrei Torah al shulchan. The assumption was, if you've got a yeshiva bocher at the table, then they'll say over a dvar Torah, and there will be some discussion about Torah. Stam bocher But kozeh onihu, a bocha like this, who has nowhere to eat, is regarded as noni. V'gami davim divatar al shulchan. When a person has a bocha in yeshiva, when yeshiva bocha eating with his meal morning and evening, he says that's nechshav kishnei semitim. It's like bringing a korban tobit in the morning and a common tobit shabed arbaim, and therefore that's nechshav, and that's pretty much. As far ahead as I looked and used up all the material that I prepared, I don't just learn the whole period. Was trying to start something else by heart. This week's Perek Gimel. Is there a Mishnayos Edios somewhere? Can you find me a Mishnayos Edios? Yeah, Akavya b'Malal Eloyme. Yeah, everybody knows that Akavya b'Malal Eloyme. Those of you who are interested in Chazonos, Mordechai Hirschman saying Akavya b'Malal Eloyme, Stakel b'Shloisha Devorim, you should look at three things. Ve'ena tobo lidei aveira. Yeah, everybody knows this, I think, by heart. Da'ama ayin boso, know from where you came. Ro'on ato hoylech, lifnei mi ato osid litein, din v'chesh b'lifnei melech melech amlochim ha'kodesh baruch hu. While we're waiting for, and then it says, Da'ama ayin boso, where do you come from? Mitipos rucho. From you come from a very, very low beginning. From a
what's
the idios? Well, idios, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that looks right. Yeah, mitipos rucho, rona toholech, and where you're going is lemokoim. Everybody ends up, unfortunately, in a down in 6 foot under lemokoim rimo v'soleo. And lifnei amato osed litevdim v'cheshbon lifnei melech melech amnochem hakadosh baruch hu. Just before I get on to the Mishnah and Adios, they all ask the Kasha, why does the Mishnah repeat itself? The Mishnah starts off, Dama ayin boso, ulon ato hoylech, v'lifnei mi ato osid litidim v'cheshbon. And then it repeats the question, it repeats each one of those as a question. First it says, Dama ayin boso. Yes, he says, Me ayin boso, where do you come from? Mitipas rucho. Ulona tohoilech, repeats ulona tohoilech, le mekoim offerim vasleh, lifne mi atosid lidem vecheshbon. So why does it repeat it? It could have just said it in one, Akavya ben Malala could have just said, yeah, estaka b'shoish dvoy ve'ein atabodadeva, da me ayin boso, mitipas rucho, that you come from a little drop of semen, yeah, ulona tohoilech to your kever. Why does it repeat it twice? So the Mephoshim say that there are two aspects here. There are two different aspects here which Akavya ben Malala was trying to communicate. The first ones is as follows. Look at these three things. The first three things that he mentions are talking about Gadlus Odom. You should know from where you come. You're a Ben Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Your neshama is Tahirohi, and that you come mitachas kisei akovoit, and therefore you have a great origin. You're a very, very chosher of a person. You're somebody who has a responsibility because your neshama is very, very important, and your shama is very, very chosher. And then the second thing is ola onat ohoilech. Where are you going? If you're a zoicha, you will end up in Olam Abo, in Gan Eden, in a place where the Shechinah, you'll be nene meziv Shechinah. These things that we have no idea exactly what it is, but we know that it's something amazing. Ayin lo yaraso, elehim zul asecho, the Pasuk says, only Rabbi Nishon can actually appreciate what Olam Abo is. But we know it's something amazing. Yeah, you will stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzmoi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will demand of you, did you give respect to that neshama? Did you treat your neshama well when you were here in this world? Did you understand how choshev you are, and how amazing you are, and how fantastic you are, and therefore what your responsibility is to that neshama? That Losid Lovoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the neshama back, and you'll have to give account for it. So that's the first chelik of the Mishnah, saying how amazing you are, and how fantastic you are, how fantastic your origin is, and what your achrayus is. The second half of the Mishnah, when he repeats the question, is looking at it from the opposite way. Look how lowly you are. Yeah? Then it repeats the question again. And then it says, then it asks again, Me'ayin Bosa, where did you come? Miti Bosrucha, you came from nothing. You were born out of nothing. You were born out of a chemical, if you like, a chemical interaction. And from nothing. You come from nowhere. So therefore, why are you considering yourself so great? Why are you considering yourself so choshev that you have to be mechabed your guf, and you have to look after your body, and to go in bodily pursuits, in human pursuits, when there are other things which are much more important? And where are you going to? Now we're thinking about shiflus odom. We're looking at the other side of it. We're looking at the fact that a person is in this world for only for 70 years plus, and then sof kol sof, he doesn't take anything with him, and he ends up in the mokim rimo vasoleya, and the body decomposes, and there's nothing left of the guf. So therefore, now the second round of these things, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to you, why did you spend your entire life running after human pursuits, running after human pleasures, and giving cover for your guf when your neshama was so great? So the first half of the Mishnah is saying, you're amazing and you're fantastic and you're kodosh and you're toher and your neshama is wonderful, and therefore think of it from that point of view. That's where you came, that's where you're going, and that's what you give the cheshbon for. And then the second Mishnah repeats all these things again to look at it from the opposite side, Mishiflus Odom.
Started the Torah Way with us, London, Tuesday, Kaf Aleph 17th of June, Ren Arava Bedalia, Liebman, Shlita, Halachic Topic. This week's Torah Way is sponsored by Chaim Metz's daughter, Lichlet Simson, a mitzvah of Eli, Metz's daughter, Neri Yoruk, mitzvah, which is coming to Shabbos. He also sees the heroes coming out of Nachas, when he called Yosei Chalatahem, Mizchus, Ashvim, Achayalim, Amilchamo, Shachzur, Votem, Lishalom, Bim Heiro.
First of all, apologies, sincere apologies. Actually, just simply slipped me. I don't even have any good excuse. I felt really bad when I came and I saw Bianchi was speaking. I thought, you know what? Maybe with your gain and my loss. And, yeah. My plan, to, you know, rethink. I was going to speak about an Indian Talmud Torah Rabbim. That was the plan topic, had an interesting. You see, I was running late. Assuming everything went wrong, and I'd literally just woken up, and I zoomed down over here to give the shiur, and Sof Zman Kriya Shema today is about now. If you according to the later time, the later Sof Zman Kriya Shema, if you count the hours from sunrise to sunset, like the Balatani and the Gro, so then Sof Zman Kriya Shema is about now. So my question would be, I'm coming late, literally now, and I haven't said Kriya Shema Shal Shacharis, and I'm also late for Asher. So what should I do? Baruch Hashem, in this case, I've said Kriya Shema. But let's say I hadn't, and such a thing could happen. Something went wrong, slept in, and I have 3 minutes. This is a sheer waiting, literally a sheer waiting, and I haven't said Kriya Shema. What would you say? No. Well, it seems quite straightforward. I mean, Shema is a mitzvah, saseh min haTorah, and the very basic rule is that if you're learning Torah, so a mitzvah, she'yeh, she'laseh, sa'ad yachirim, a mitzvah that can't be done through others, you have to stop to do. If you're learning Torah and there's a mitzvah that somebody else can do, so then somebody else does the mitzvah and you continue to learn Torah. But if it's a mitzvah that's if it cannot be done through others, so then the din is that you have to stop. Obviously, Kriya Shema is a chayvus guf, it's a responsibility on you to say Kriya Shema. Nobody else can say Kriya Shema in the morning for me. It's an important mitzvah, Kabbalah Seil Malach Shemaim. And therefore, the simple halacha one would assume is to stop and say Kriya Shema, but it's really, really not so simple. There's a story in the Gemara that Rav and Rav Chia were two students of Rebbe, and Rav says to Rav Chia that I didn't see Rebbe Mekabalah Malach Shemaim. I didn't see Rebbe saying Kriya Shema. He's teaching us Torah from early morning, according to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way until after the end of Zman Kriya Shema, teaching us a long shir, and I didn't see him, Lori said, I didn't see him say Kriya Shema, I didn't see him do Kabbalah Omach Shemayim. So Rav Chiya says back to Rabbi, Rav Chiya, the older student, says back to Rav, Bar Pachti, B'shosh, Amar, Yodav, and Enov, when Rabbi, in the middle of a shir, would go like this, cover his eyes for a moment, he was the capital of Amach Shemayim. At that moment, he said Kriya Shema. That's the story in the Gemara. Now, the way the some Rishonim learn, the Rosh, for example, learns, the Rosh explains, 1 minute, just the first pasuk. The mitzvah is more than the first pasuk. According to some opinions, exactly what the mitzvah is, deraisa, there's generally three opinions, whether it's the first pasuk, the first parasha, or Sevahoya, different opinions what mitzvah is, deraisa. But certainly, at least with Rabbonon, you have a chiyuv to do more than the first pasuk. According to many Rishonim, it's even a chiyuv deraisa to do more than the first pasuk. So the Rosh asks, why is he not doing Kriya Shema? Okay, what does it mean he's teaching Torah, he's not doing Kriya Shema? And says the Rosh, Talmud Torah Rabbim is different. True, when you're learning Torah, you have to stop for a mitzvah. But if you're teaching Torah Rabbim publicly, so then the din is that's a great mitzvah, it's greater than all the mitzvah Torah. And such a thing, even to stop to say Kriya Shema, you don't need to, at least the person giving the shir. That's what the Rosh says. And I remember when I learned the Rosh the first time, I was sure that this is not carried through La Locha in the Poiskim. That's what I assumed, yeah?
Regarding the time of Kriya Shema, do you have to just begin it by the time or finish it? Because I thought the way what you could do is you could say each line by line and give a drosha on each one.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. In fact, the Gemara does say that Rebbe did that as well for Vayomer. Vayomer, the main part of the mitzvah is to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, and in a shir he incorporated Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah. Yeah, but the rest of it wouldn't. You'd have to finish it and say it, and you wouldn't allowed to be mastic and different dinim. That solution wouldn't work for Kriya Shema. Yeah, for the Vayomer it would, but for Kriya Shema it wouldn't. Yeah. So the truth is this: the Torah doesn't bring this din, and the Beis Yosef and Siman Ayin asks, well, why doesn't the Torah bring this din? Why doesn't the Torah bring the din that of the Rosh? The Rosh says Talmud Torah Rabbim is so important that it pushes aside even a mitzvah say the rise of Kriya Shema. So how come it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch? And the Beis Yosef says it's not that the Torah doesn't hold of it; the Torah does hold of the din. It's just that, he says, the shit Satorah would be, because we're being Yonah to support this, that you wouldn't stop for Kriya Shema if it's going to ruin the Shir. If, however, you can stop, say Shema, and the Shir would continue as normal, so then you would have to stop. So since the Rosh holds, since says the Beis Yosef, the Torah holds that if you can just say Shema and go back to the Shir, you should. So practically, usually you could do that. And therefore it's not a practical halacha. And therefore the Torah misses it out. But not because it doesn't hold of it, because it's not practical. That's the way the Beis Yosef explains the Torah. And therefore, following on in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber also doesn't mention this din. But again, not because he doesn't hold of it, but because, as he just explained, it's not practical. The Ramah does mention this din. I think it's in Siman Kuvav. The Ramah does mention this din that, although they're discussing the din of learning Torah before davening, which is, I'm sure, sometimes relevant, perhaps to some people over here, sometimes relevant to the person giving the shir, but there is a din one shouldn't learn Torah before davening, and it has conditions. Sometimes you can learn Torah before davening, but either way, we say that the Ramah says that the Talmud Torah Rabbim, that you would be able to learn before davening, certainly if because of this din, it's essentially according to this Rosh that it pushes aside all mitzvahs of Torah, and bepashtus, there's no cholkim. So it seems to be a straightforward halacha, which is a tremendous chiddush. And in fact, in Siman Reish Tzadik, the halachas of Sudash Lishis on Shabbos, so over there, there's Mamash Adin that the person giving the drosha Shabbos, there's all Siman over there, have Shabbos as a time to learn Torah. In fact, it's Parsha Shalach, and the Levush brings their Medrash that says that. That the Torah says to Hashem that Yidden are going to come to Eretz Yisrael, Zerotz the Karmoy, Zerotz the Sadeo, one's running to his field, one's running, what's going to be with me? They're all going to forget about me, meaning the Torah. So Hashem says, I'm going to give you Shabbos, I have a partner for you, Shabbos, it's going to come Shabbos, you and Shabbos are going to go together, and everyone's going to learn Torah. But here it says, so there's din in the Chacham has to be Doirish Shabbos, and it says, if Shavu Echos, the Chacham is late for the Drosha, literally this, he's late for the Drosha, and he's going to, especially going to protest the fact that he came late, so to make it you know, like a more real, this example. And if you have, and if he has to the Shlishis, then he's going to miss the Drosha. And so the Shlishis is a Chiyav, we did it in Gemara, it's a Chiyav. At least Rabbanon. So we say he shouldn't stop so the Shlishis. So the Mogen Avraham brings, because of this did, essentially it's because of this Rosh, and the Rosh of some of the Shulchan Harav, that Talmud Torah the Rabbim and Lamed is Om Yirah Shemayim is Koidim L'chol Mitzvah Satorah, very strong Rosh, comes before all other Mitzvahs. So in Pashtos that seems to be the Halacha, that Talmud Torah the Rabbim is more Chomer. Again, L'maisa, usually you can stop doing the Mitzvah and continue learning. But if for whatever reason you feel that will destroy it, I say a teacher in a class, and okay, one has to be done if this applies also to children under 13. It might, because it's far to the Talmud Torah the Rabbim, possibly. But certainly, if the children are bar mitzvah, but they might be bar mitzvah, but they're not so eager to learn. And if you stop to quickly say Kriya Shema, it could be by the time you finish, you cover your eyes, everyone's out of the room. Yeah, it's not impossible. So the simple halacha would seem you shouldn't say Kriya Shema. However, there is another, and that's what seems to be more or less the way the Mishnah Berurah paskens, with a little caveat, but practically, yeah.
Sorry. What do you mean when you're not spoiling the shiur? Even at the time when you're saying Kriya Shema, there's a whole audience sitting there doing
not that. Learning. Yeah. It's not clear to me, but I think that's mashma that is okay. If as a result the whole limud Torah that you're going to be teaching is going to be in this battle, so that then you wouldn't have to stop. Yeah. I think that moment. Yeah. However, there's another tzad over here. Shulchan Aruch Rav wrote a Kuntras called Hilchos Talmud Torah, and I printed it in one of the Sforim. Hilchos Talmud Torah, you have in Shulchan Aruch, a simon of Hilchos Talmud Torah, but over there he's very Meirich and goes through all of the halachas of Talmud Torah in a way you know, much broader than the simple dinim in Shulchan Aruch. In other words, quotes from all of the Chazal that are relevant to Talmud Torah, and tries to organize and create a set of halachas, like we have a Hilchos Tzitzis, Hilchos Tzvila, Hilchos Tzvila, a Hilchos Talmud Torah. So over there he brings, it turns it into Machalokos, even though again, like in the Rishonim, in the Pashtus, all we have is the Rosh. We don't have anyone clearly choylik. Then he turns it into machloikus, and I'm not able to go through it fully, but I'll just mention that there is the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Megillah says, essentially quoting the Gemara, that Mikra Megillah, you have to push aside Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah. If you're learning Torah, you have to stop for Mikra Megillah. It's a straightforward Gemara. And the Lech Mishnah is done. He says that from the language of the Rambam, it implies that even Talmud Torah Derabim, even if you're having a shir, a public shir like we have right now, Talmud Torah Derabim, even that has to be pushed aside for Mikra Megillah. And he asks from the Gemara, it's not so simple. The Gemara says that Talmud Torah is stronger than Megillah because Talmud Torah is stronger than Avoida in the base of Mikdash. And Mikra Megillah is stronger than Avoida, and Avoida pushes aside Talmud Torah. So if so, Mikra Megillah certainly pushes aside Talmud Torah. Yet Talmud Torah, the Rabbim, is not pushed aside by Avoida, as clear in the Gemara. So the Lech Mishnah asks, so the Lech Mishnah says it's another Gemara which comes out that Mikra Megillah is even Doicha Talmud Torah, the Rabbim. The bottom line is, the understanding of the Lech Mishnah in the Rambam, just from his whole discussion, is it seems clear that he learns that Mikra Megillah would push aside Talmud Torah, the Rabbim. So Melech Shulchan Aruch presents it as a machloikus. Now we have machloikus, the Rosh on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand, that holds Talmud Torah the Rabbim isn't doicha mitzvahs asay. Rather, but since Tachlis Chochma Maisa Tovim, the purpose of learning is to fulfill. Gol Talmud is because it's maybe the Maisa. So therefore, if you're not actually doing the Maisa, so you wouldn't have the Gol Talmud, and therefore, if it was just Machloikus Rosh and Rambam, it wouldn't be so clear. So therefore, he goes and he has a Kuntzakar over there where he says that if you would die in the Rosh and Renyoina, now this is very interesting because Renyoina, some of the Rishonim bring to support the Rosh. But soft stuff, he says if you would die in the Rosh and Renyoina, it comes out that Talmud Torah the Rabbim is Doicha, that you're allowed to start learning if you're going to have time to say Kriya Shema afterwards, or you're going to have time to daven afterwards. But the mashmos is that if you won't, if you're like in the Brinyana, so then it won't. So then you won't be able to continue learning, rather you should stop at Kriya Shema. So therefore he suggests that the Machloikas Rambam and Brinyana on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have the On the other hand, you have the Rosh, and therefore he says one gepaskin like one with paskin at the Rambam and the Radiana, and therefore it comes out, so the Shlishis, one would stop instead of the Drosha. That seems to be the implication. So even though Lemaisa, I'm saying it's not so posh, it certainly brings out the importance of Talmud Torah Rabbim, and the greatness of Talmud Torah Rabbim, which is what we do here every day, and how terrible it was that, I thought how terrible it was that I came late today. Lemaisa, I saw Talmud Torah Rabbim happened anyway, Baruch Hashem. Yes, okay.
I was due to go to
see ya.
And this shop is just my